What You Missed on the Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lynn. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Market Insight. I'm Michael Suido. With me today is Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, thank you very much for joining us today. I'd like to speak with you about several things that Ravi Menon, the head of the Monetary Authority of Singapore, brought up at his media briefing yesterday. Let's start with the Singapore economy. Ravi said that earlier in the year, he described a Goldilocks state of the global economy, healthy growth, low inflation, and easy financial conditions. He says he also warned at the time about the three bears of inflation, protectionism, and financial instability. And he said they could make an appearance at any time to spoil the party. He went on to say that now, 6 months later, he can say that at least two of the three bears have been cited, inflation and protectionism. What do you think of his analogies?
Well, I think he makes a fair point. We've seen that in the U.S., inflation has picked up rather rapidly. And at the margin, the U.S. Federal Reserve is inclined to probably tighten more, not less, in particular alluding to the fiscal stimulus, which could also raise inflation in the U.S. faster. And we also see the global backdrop of higher oil prices, and this is ordinarily associated with two things. One, it pushes up energy inflation and a broader inflation spectrum with a little bit of lag. And the other thing is inflation expectations are also somewhat correlated to oil prices. So if you see oil prices remaining elevated, then he's spot on about inflation picking up and that, I think, translating into higher interest rates to follow, and that could be one of the risks. On the other account, I mean, of course, we do see a lot of the headline risks around protectionism. Already, we are, you know, we're watchful of what happens with the tariffs to be announced tomorrow and the retaliatory tariffs from China. And the real risk is that not just with China, I think we can actually call this the so-called NAPA tariffs. And the NA is North America. Then you've got the across the Pacific, and then you've got the one that's across the Atlantic as well.
So three fronts there.
Three fronts, which he also pointed out, and on that account, we can easily say that the tit for tat tariff moves escalating very quickly would be a big risk to Singapore, because Singapore has got a very big exposure to global trade via complicated supply chain linkages. So that, I think, is also spot on.
So he went on to say as well that if we do have a full-fledged trade war, that all three engines of global growth, manufacturing, trade, and investment, will stall. And it seems that right now we are on the verge of that trade war, with the U.S. ready to implement new tariffs against China tomorrow and China ready to retaliate. Do you believe that this is, are we at a stage yet where these engines of global growth are going to stall?
Well, I'll start with the trade war first. I mean, we have certainly seen tensions being ratcheted higher. We have also seen certain, some skirmishes with Canada retaliating, and China also poised to respond if the U.S. goes ahead with the tariffs. What we are fearful of, but hopeful that it will not happen, is the counter response from the U.S. I mean, we have heard Trump say that the tariffs could be ratcheted higher, $200 billion worth, and that's really the risk that we are worried about. We are, however, hopeful that it will not be a full-fledged war, insofar that there are some some room for negotiation and the two parties being willing to come to the table. But certainly, if we did see that kind of response and counter-response culminating in a full-on war, there's no question that on all fronts, I think activity would grind down very harshly. But for now, the signs of that are already here, insofar that there seems to be some hesitation around investment sentiments. So companies that want to invest in Asia are now holding back at the margin, because they want to be watchful of where the tariffs land up and where the impact can be felt.
Vishnu, as you mentioned, companies are already adjusting their investment decisions because of this uncertainty and these fears of new tariffs. And there are different estimates out there about how big the tariffs will be, what the value of the goods will be. I've seen estimates of $1 trillion, even up to $2 trillion. Do we have an idea, though, of how much this will impact the economy? To what extent will growth be cut? Can we quantify it yet?
This is going to be very hard to quantify for two reasons. One is we haven't seen the end game yet. That's to say, we don't know how far negotiation could see some of these tariffs being rescinded on, or at least cut back a little bit. I mean, just even in the headlines now, I think the EU is reviewing tariffs on US car imports. So the negotiation seems quite fluid both ways. So it's not just about tit for tat and tariffs ratcheting high on both sides. On some ends, you know, to our relief, I think some parties are willing to scale back and take a new look at things. So until that is settled, it'll be very difficult to quantify. But surely the thing that stands out is that because of the supply chain linkages, the circular effects could amplify trade war effects rather than dial it down.
One thing which has also caught my eye this week is that China is pressuring Europe for an anti-U.S. trade alliance, which could, you know, reshape the international system. Europe is being a bit hesitant because it shares some of the American IP, intellectual property concerns, but they're both on the same side saying we don't want to see a trade war, we don't want to see increased tariffs. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, you're absolutely right on that. Instead of a situation where the U.S. Picks its fight carefully and aligns with the EU, we've seen all of them landing on different pages. And for that reason, I think it'd be difficult to get any kind of convergence around a solid site of, or at least a solid formation of some kind of alliance between US and EU against the US. And that would also be too tough a stance in terms of declaring, a trade war. As far as the EU is concerned, I think for the EU, China and the US are equally important markets. And I think that's a good sign that such an alliance is not being formed, because it means that all parties involved are willing to consider many different angles on this. And that should give some kind of a relief somewhere rather than a hardening of the trade war stance.
That's certainly interesting times, not just for the trade war, but for international relations. On the topic of property, we heard yesterday that the head of the Monetary Authority of Singapore, Ravi Menon, is urging homebuyers, banks, and developers to be more cautious. He says euphoria has struck the property market. This follows a release of data by the Urban Redevelopment Authority that shows that private property prices rose 3.4% in the second quarter of the year. I spoke earlier with Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank. We spoke about property and Singapore's foreign reserves, and I began by asking whether he agrees with Menon's characterization of the property market.
I think to some extent he makes a valid point. What we saw initially as a bottoming in the property market has led to a much more rapid pace of increase. It's been corroborated by both the volume and the value of the transactions taking place. And a good part of the correction in the property market has become undone now. So we're almost back where we started before the nice measured correction that the authorities had, I think, engineered. So that is of some concern if we are to believe that, you know, this is not the end of the trend and we could see further upside. So it could see property market valuation getting well out of whack against fundamentals, particularly if we look at it against wage and an environment where interest rates are rising.
So if property prices do continue to rise, do you think the government will take any action? Will they implement any new policies, new stamp duties to dampen the market again?
One thing we have to bear in mind now is that the policy dilemma and the cost of policy has increased. In a rising interest rate environment where we've got major headline risks such as trade war risk, so on and so forth, and where the upcycle in the economy has already peaked, and that's the trade and manufacturing-related economy, one of the things about tightening the property market is that we're not sure what would cause a hard landing. So that risk is certainly there, but I think a government response can be expected. Already we've seen land sales being bumped up to keep expectations in line. If the escalation prices were to amplify, then we could expect a stronger response.
One other issue that Ravi Menon raised in his media briefing at the Monetary Authority of Singapore was about Singapore's official foreign reserves. He says they grew by $8.5 billion in the past fiscal year. What do you make of this return?
Well, I think we have to bear a few things in mind. In the past fiscal year, we've seen big gains in the market, so it's hardly surprising that we saw a gain in the reserves. also, the other point about it is we, not looking at this year, but in the past fiscal year, we also saw a much weaker US dollar. And that, I think, would inflate the value of the FX reserves insofar that the non-dollar denominated assets be valued higher in US dollar terms. So that is certainly aligned with what we saw in the change in reserves. But what's of greater importance or more interest is what happens to the reserves going forward in a tougher environment and where the dollar is rising.
So you think it's going to be more difficult to grow the reserves in the year ahead?
For two reasons. One is the market conditions are tougher alongside a stronger dollar, both of which would diminish the returns. And the other point is, and the bigger and the more difficult to quantify risk may be from the trade war risks, if that dampens the current account or the ability to accumulate reserves, be it from the current account or from the investment account, that could also play a part.
You mentioned currency exchange rate changes. I was struck by the currency losses that MAS incurred in the past year. They lost $13.8 billion due mainly to the strengthening of the Singapore dollar against the US dollar and Japanese yen. That cut their overall gains by more than half. Isn't that pretty large?
Yes, but at the end of the day, it would be very difficult to fully anticipate currency movements in managing reserves, whereas I think the bigger point about reserves is that they need to be parked in assets that are fairly liquid and fairly safe. And the currency movements are things that we take a longer, medium to longer term view on, and that should even out in the longer term.
Well, the MAS says that as of the end of March, Singapore has official foreign reserves of more than 376 billion Singapore dollars. We've been speaking with Vishnu Varathan, the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank.